Today on Real Radio.
Christ has purchased us, but we, as we'll see tonight, literally are on layaway. And we're going to see how all of this works into this thing about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Very important. We are chosen in Christ. We are sealed by the Lord. In fact, we are sealed in the Lord, by the Lord, for the Lord.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We're examining chapter 1, which is comprised largely of Paul's opening remarks of the letter, not the least of which are verses 12 and 13, which refer to the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit?
Let's just, by way of review, look at Ephesians 1, verse 1. Starting there, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed or happy be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him, that is Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation or the unveiling of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His own will. Here we go in our text tonight. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And the title of the message tonight is, Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit? Are you? Do you know that for a fact? Who is sealed by the Holy Spirit? What does it take to be sealed by the Holy Spirit? What does it really mean? We're going to look at that tonight. We're going to be seeing and stressing the position and the security of our salvation that we find in Christ. And this thing about are you sealed in the Holy Spirit, you better know tonight by the time we leave if you are sealed or not. And I want to warn you up front, there may be some things in this message that's going to offend some of you. I want you all to be very alert. I don't know if you drink coffee or not, but if you've drank coffee before the service, then you're probably going to be doing okay. If you have a tendency to doze off, I'm going to ask if the ushers would get out maybe some prodding sticks to keep you alert, because it's so important what we're going to be looking at tonight. It is so absolutely Christian doctrine. It's so necessary that we understand this. Are you really sealed by the Holy Spirit? And what does that mean? Can you go to heaven and not be sealed by the Holy Spirit? It's very important. I don't know about you, but growing up in San Diego and then moving up into Orange County, we had in San Diego and in Orange County these Stater Brothers. They've been around forever. Stater Brothers, markets. And I remember growing up, and when I would come home from school, I would always look in the trash bags. We didn't have plastic bags then. We had the trash bags, or grocery bags. And I would reach in there and get the blue chip stamps or the green chip stamps, because we had those books. And remember, you would save so many of them, then you would dip the sponge or the washcloth in the water and wipe them and paste them down, and the books would get soaked. Remember how wet they used to be, and the pages would stick together? And I would save those, and I got Tonka trucks, footballs, a gas-powered airplane, you know, that you'd stand in the circle and get sick and throw up as you go around and around. And, you know, we got a lot of things that way. And it was very exciting. And those little stamps, you would go down to the redemption store, and you would take the books and place them on the counter, and they would give you a tag or a number. You'd go down to the next counter, and they would give you the item. Remember, you pick it out. I've got, you know, 900 pages filled, and that's what I want right there. And that whole process of redemption is where, as time goes on, the dispensation of the fullness of times would come. And when that moment came, when that book was filled, you would go down and take what is really the purchased possession. Now, you didn't get that item on the shelf for free, even though as a little child, I felt it was free. I felt like that. But I wasn't the one paying for the groceries, you see. I would simply get the stickers and go for it. It was a neat feeling. But when time had come, I'd go down and get that thing that I wanted. And in some ways, God has worked out salvation like that in our lives. There is, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, as time comes to a conclusion, God has been drawing all things in heaven and in earth, you, into the culmination of what will ultimately bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ. We studied last time that even the evil that's in the world today that we despise and hate and cry over, God is somehow going to bring that to His own glory. And that's an amazing thing to consider. But we need to have that concept in mind, that there is this act of redemption. There's this act of getting something, that you redeem it out of the store and take it as a purchased possession. Then there's the good old Kmart, where you see something, you don't have the money, but you like it, you don't want to lose it, so you grab it, go down to that little counter, and you say, I want to put $5 down, here's my name, and you put it on layaway. And it's got your name on it, and they store it for you, and you can make payments on it, and then there comes a day when you got it, and you go down there, and you bring it home, and I think it's a great thing that you can do. And God also works that out for us to understand that Christ has purchased us, but we, as we'll see tonight, literally are on layaway. And we're going to see how all of this works into this thing about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. Very important. We are chosen in Christ. We are sealed by the Lord. In fact, we are sealed in the Lord, by the Lord, for the Lord. And we'll see that tonight. First thing in your note-taking, verse 12. God's divine election produces within us praise. God's divine election that He has given us as believers will produce in us praise, worship, adoration of God. Verse 12, it says that we who first trusted in Christ, here it is, should be to the praise of His glory. Should be to the praise of His glory. One mark that should be upon every believer's life, every one of our lives this evening if we're believers, one of the things that should set us aside from the rest of the world is that we are people prone to worship, prone to praise. We should be worshipers of God. The word in the Greek is proskuneo. It means to turn and kiss, literally. If you look it up in your Greek New Testament or in a dictionary in the Greek, it means to lick the hand of the master as a dog. It means to lick the hand. And we, as humans, would say that it means to turn and kiss the hand, or to turn and kiss the Lord, proskuneo, to love Him, to literally show the act of worship. And it means to kiss the hand or to turn and kiss. It's our call to worship. And as believers, we need to be people who worship God. Now, do we need to muster it up? Do we need to pump it up? Do we really need to get some driving music and get people to start, you know, quivering and shaking around and, you know, get it going. Let's lather it up. You know, I know churches that do that, and I'm not knocking that. I just don't worship the Lord like that. If it's your thing, fine, you know. It's between you and the Lord, I guess. But I get a little nervous about having to lather something up. Why? Because we ought to be worshiping God, first of all times. Let His praise continually be in our mouths. That is an attitude of our heart. It's not something that we lather up on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. It is to be an attitude of the heart. Are we worshipers of God? It's something that God has put within us by virtue of us knowing Him. So I want to ask you tonight, don't respond, don't indict yourself. Are you a worshiper of God? Do you come in here on Sundays or on Wednesdays and just, well, here we go, you know, we'll wait for the Word to come. We'll go through these songs and, boy, that's a strange instrument John's playing this night. And, you know, okay, you know, it's a couple more songs and I think we'll be, you know, into the Word or listen. If that's your attitude, it needs to change immediately. And it can change immediately. I fought the worship group a long time about printing up the words of the songs on the back of the bulletin. I fought them for about a year and a half on that for a couple reasons. But one of the things that I justified, one of my reasons, you know, we have to pay people to have those words printed on the back every week. I have a hard time with that. The Lord giveth and man chargeth through the noseth. I have a really hard time with that stuff. But I love the artists and the men who God gave these songs to, but attorneys stepped in and they get most of the money. Anyway, I could go on all night about that one. But one of the things was, you know, I have a tendency to be concerned about having printed songs up because we don't commit them to memory if they're printed up. We'll just pull it out and read it. And besides, we can't clap when we're reading it in front of us. I think we ought to commit it to memory. Why? It goes into your heart. Driving down the street, you'll start singing the song. It will come out of your heart. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Scriptures tells us that we should have psalms and hymns and spiritual songs really flowing out of our heart, out of our lives. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, it's only going to happen if we are instilling it within us. We need to be memorizing the songs of worship and praise to the Lord. So one of the things that it's going to set aside a believer from a non-believer, if you ask me, is this: a believer is going to be a worshiper of God. But listen, before that can happen, as us being worshipers of God, we've got to understand and realize what God's done for us. Maybe you're not so much a worshiper of God because you don't understand all that He's done for you. The knowledge of God will always result in thanksgiving and praise. Come on, think. If we know someone well and we like what we know about them, what will you do about that? You will want to be with them. People who you get to know. You know, you've seen the license plate frame. It says, to know me is to love me. What does that mean? It all depends on who they are. You know? To know me is to love me. Well, that's a pretty big statement there. Maybe to know you is to can't stand you. It's pretty arrogant. To know me is to love me. But there's a lot of truth, though, to that statement. To know them is to love them. I tell you what, you can't love them until you know them. It's very important. Do we know the Lord? John chapter 4, verse 23, you know this well. John chapter 4, verse 23 says, but the hour is coming, Jesus said, and now is. It's now present. When the true worshipers of God will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. To worship Him in spirit is an attitude of our heart that we are literally going outside of ourselves and we are experiencing God in an intimate, personal relationship. But truth means knowledgeably. That we're knowing God in an intellectual way, not coldly, or not in a removed way, but literally, I mean by intellectual, by knowledge, to truly know Him. And the more we know Him, or listen, someone, the more prone we will be to love them. And maybe we're not worshiping God, or we're not prone to worshiping God, because we really don't know His nature. You may be wonderfully saved, but you haven't advanced on to know Him. Now, I got to tell you something. When I got saved, and even quite a few years into it, we always sat, I know none of you would do this, we always sat in the same spot at Calvary Chapel. Always. For years. And in a church that huge, that's how you get to meet people, by the way. And those people literally became our best friends over the years. And they still are great friends. And there was a guy that always used to sit to my right. Lisa would be to my left. Richard would be to my right. And we'd start worshiping. And I'm doing pretty fine. I got my eyes closed and I've got my hands up there because I want to. And I'm saying with my hands up, Lord, this is a prayer of mine. As we're singing, I am giving that back unto You, God. I'm making this song a prayer. And it's a neat way to worship the Lord. And Lord, I want You to know that I'm giving this to You. And I love You, and You're great. And I would be doing fine until I would feel or sense or hear Richard go, Don, I love You, and and I would look, and Richard is there, and tears are flowing down his cheeks. And he's wiping the snot from his nose. And he is just, oh God, oh Lord. And I would look at him, and right in the middle, there's thousands of people behind me. And I would just... You know why? Listen, I began, hey, you know what? What's going on? God, what is the deal? I would like to do that to you. I don't do that to You. And I began to match my form of worship to His form of worship, you see, that I should be worshiping like Him. And He's bawling and oh, and then sit down and oh Lord. And I'm, what is this? What is wrong with me? I'd go home and Lisa, what's wrong with me? I'm not experiencing God like He is. Well, you know what? The guy had known the Lord a lot longer than I had known the Lord. And he was very committed to God. And he would sit alone. He would read chapters of the Bible. He was single, lived next door to us. We'd wake up in the morning, and you'd hear Richard, oh, I love You, Lord. And it's, oh, man. He's just, you know what? It was a neat thing, but I was comparing myself with him. And that is wrong. Paul says you're a fool if you compare yourself with those around you. Shouldn't do it. But you see, I'm thinking that this guy is really close to God. The fact of the matter is the reason why he worshiped like that is because for his makeup, for his emotional state and his spiritual state and his personality, that was his way of worshiping the Lord, and it was not my way of worshiping the Lord. But the fact, though, was he knew God's nature much better than I did at that time. He knew who he was worshiping in spirit and in truth. He knew that Jesus had truly, truly forgiven him. There's a lot of attractive people in the world today. A lot of good-looking people. When you see somebody who's attractive and you look, well, you're not looking at them knowledgeably. You're looking at them, ooh, attractive person in the world. Okay? If you never talk to them, if you never speak with them, if you just which is sin, continue to look at them, you enter into the lust mode. How can you do that? How can you enter into the lust mode? It's easy if you don't know them, but you keep looking at them. But if you meet them, get to know them, and you're experiencing, you start, you know, talking with them, and maybe even you meet them at church, you start fellowshipping together and serving the Lord together. Listen, don't take this wrong, but being attracted to somebody and at that level on the ground of appearance only is a lustful foundation that will eventually lead to infatuation, which will eventually quickly fade out and be dead and gone. Why? Because you don't know them. But you can take someone who's just, you know, not all that good looking, just really lax in the physical appearance of things, and yet get to know them, and they become extremely beautiful. And you've heard people say, how can she go out with him? Well, the guy happens to be great. What does he see in her? She happens to be a great, great person. And you fall in love with what you know about them. You've known them, and so you fall in love with them. Not fall in love or lust at them. You see? Big difference. If we know God, we are going to worship Him out of a heart of praise and adoration and enjoying Him, verse 12 is talking about, because we know Him. And the more time we spend in the Word of God, the more time we spend in prayer with Him, the more we're going to be prone to worship and adore Him. In earthly relationships, love is evident by appreciation. Well, in heavenly relationships, love is evident by praise and worship. We need to remember that. The more I understand Him, the more I'll praise Him and love Him. In verse 12, when it says here that we who first trusted, you need to circle the word we. It's not easily picked up in the English language. Paul is referring to we Jews who first trusted in Christ. Literally this, we who Jews first looked for and awaited the Messiah should be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you. See the word you? That word is you Gentiles. There's a distinction in verses 12 and 13. That's missed in the English language. In Him you Gentiles also trusted. Hey, just like we have after you heard the word of truth.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. It's a presentation called, Are You Sealed by the Holy Spirit? Look at verses 12 and 13 of the first chapter. We'll pick up with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Get in touch with us here at Real Radio, either by telephone, by writing, or by clicking. If Real Radio is a part of your day, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, for instance, and let us know. Here's one that comes from a listener in Southern California. Dear Real Radio, my letter of appreciation is written because I've now been introduced to Real Radio. I first had the opportunity to listen to the broadcast on my daily commute to Newport Beach in California. Now that the 18-month project is complete, I continue to listen on realradioactive.org. When I hear Pastor Jack, he edifies my passion for our Savior. I have attended another church for the past 27 years, but now want to visit your church because I seriously want to be a part of a fellowship that takes the Word of God to the streets. And again, that comes from a listener in Southern California. Just visit realradioactive.org and click where it says, Send Us a Message, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.